Can you see me over this thing? So, this is great to be here. My flight this morning was delayed 2.5 hours, so it was a little dicey, but I think I'm here. I think I'm grounded enough to do this. Speedy a little, but we'll get through that. I don't have any disclosures. So, you may or may not have heard of San Francisco Hep B Free, and I'm going to talk fairly fast because I know there's five of us up here. I know what happens to the poor person who's left at the end. They get 3 minutes, so I'll try not to use more than my 15. But it is a very innovative public-private collaboration that has galvanized both the professional and the target community and encompasses our entire healthcare section as well as universities and legislators and foundations and elected officials and businesses and community-based organizations and the media, and it goes on and on. And if I sound excited as I talk about this, it's because I am. So what I'm going to try to do in my 15 minutes of fame here is do a really quickie overview of this campaign, which has moved at an incredible pace. And so really what you're going to see is just scratching the surface of what's going on, and hopefully what really interests you will get addressed during Q&A. I have a few tips along the way. And my little comment here about I ask and you answer, because I've been struggling with how come I'm in a policy session? But the reality is that we have set policy, only we didn't know we were setting policy. It just kind of happened. So you'll have to look for the policy as you hear the talk. Tip number one, know your community. But what I want you to know is San Francisco, because how many of you have been in San Francisco? How many of you are from San Francisco? All right, never mind, I don't have to do this. I usually just bring this in because people talk to me all the time about we want to do what you're doing, we want to do what you're doing. And you need to know that we have some very unique things in San Francisco, and part of it is our size, both population-wise as well as geographic. And that does make a big difference in what we're able to accomplish, because even though we are on the leading edge of most things in this country, we make a loud bang, but we're little folks. You know, it's not very big. We have a huge foreign-born population. We have a huge Asian Pacific Islander population. We have the largest density, the densest API population of any city in the country. And we also have, as a region, the Bay Area, also as a region, we are the most densely populated with Asian and Pacific Islanders. You can see it's 34%. There is no one ethnicity, including white, that's a majority in San Francisco. The Chinese alone represent 20% of the entire population. So as I said, Hep B Free sort of evolved starting in November of 2006 when Fiona Ma presented a resolution to our Board of Supervisors. So because we are both a city and a county with the exact same borders, and we're the only such place in California, we are ruled by, we're governed by a mayor and a Board of Supervisors, and so they share authority and power sometimes nicely. And then our health commission unanimously endorsed it a month later. Now, you'll notice my little attachment there. They thought this was a great idea. Let's test and vaccinate and treat all API. Yeah, yeah, rah, rah, Hep B, no money. Tip number two is finding champions. And finding champions is really critical, at least what we have found. And we have a few, but our number one champion is Fiona Ma. And, you know, for those of you who are not of the community like myself, it's even more important to find champions, because in any kind of a group you're working with, people like to listen to people who are like themselves. It's true across the board. I don't think it varies in any group. We just it's a human thing. We like the people that look like us. Assemblywoman Fiona Ma is our honorary chair. She is devoted to the cause. She is the majority whip in the California Assembly. And she herself has chronic hepatitis B. She likes to tease and call herself the chronic Hep B poster child. Her brother, who's 2 years younger, also has chronic Hep B. She's now 42. She was diagnosed at 20. She started working with us on this project 2 years ago and learned all kinds of things that her doctors had never told her, like getting monitored every year, like having sonograms, like risk of liver cancer. And she has a sister who's 16 years younger who does not have chronic hepatitis B, because by the time her sister was born, she was given a shot of HBIG in the first shot of the vaccine, and the transmission from their mother was stopped, as we know we can do. So we have this resolution with no money attached, no teeth attached, no mandate. And as some people above me in the health department said, resolutions get passed all the time. It doesn't mean you have to do something. But three of us from key organizations decided we were going to do something about it. And so that's us. Ted Fang is over here, the tall one, and he owns a weekly English language Asian newspaper. He also, good for us, comes from a very influential Chinese family in San Francisco and is able to open doors in ways, as a public health worker, I can't even imagine. And Dr. Sam So in the middle, I hope you've all heard of. He is the crusader extraordinaire, the visionary, a fellow I call my outside agitator. This whole thing was his idea. He said, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? Let's just test everybody and get the city to pay for it. And I started saying, well, we're not going to do this because it's a blood draw. And it's and then I said, oh, let him try. It'll never happen. I was wrong. The third tip is to stay focused, to begin with the end in sight. And that's a really important thing, really important. And it's very easy for us to lose track of that. How many times have you worked on developing a survey to do something very clear-cut in the beginning, but as people sit around the table, well, as long as we're asking this, let's add one more. As long as we're asking this, let's add. And before you know it, you have a 10-page survey there. Ain't nobody's going to answer, right? So you do really have to stay focused, and sometimes that means turning people away who are ready to play with you. And we did that in the beginning because we had an intention of how we were going to start. And we did have to turn people away and say, yes, yes, we will include everybody in this, but not yet. Give us some time here to get organized. So one of the first things that we did before anything else happened is this little steering group that formed is that we identified what our clear-cut just bottom-line goals were for this, which was to raise public awareness. And if you've been working in this field, you know it's sorely missing. So you can go and talk to almost anybody, and everybody's got a little bit of common knowledge about HIV. Almost everybody knows how it's transmitted. They have some basic information. You talk about hepatitis B, it's all over the map. People are uninformed. They have misinformation. They have wrong information, doctors included. And, of course, we wanted to promote testing, vaccination, and follow-up or treatment, if that was appropriate, and ensure access. This was the hardest piece, ensure access to care for people who are infected. And it was the one piece that we got the biggest pushback from the medical community, who somehow were sure that despite our credentials of the public health department and the Asian Liver Center, we didn't know what we were doing, that we were going to find all these infected people and then just leave them floating. We said, no, we weren't doing that. A key thing is getting community support. That's kind of where we started. So by April of 2007, we had a community dinner. That's a picture of the room. We had 450 people from 150 different community groups. That's just a list, so it's boring. You don't have to really see it. In this room for this event was our launch, our kickoff. We also had all elected officials, CEOs from businesses. The mayor was there. We had a press release that got a lot of coverage beforehand. The dinner was free to all comers. You did have to sign up in advance, but it was free, so, you know, free food. I believe in free food. Let me just say I do not believe in free services, but you can talk to me about that later. So it was a fantastic event. The food was terrible, but that's okay. You get what you pay for. The other thing we did simultaneously is we launched our first public awareness effort, and these are bus ads that were moving around the city on the sides of buses with Fiona Ma and our charming mayor, Gavin Newsom. And, you know, just last night as I was playing with this, I'm thinking, well, who paid for these? And thought you might be wondering that too, because remember I said there's no money. And I mean, there is no dollars, no money anywhere. How many of you feel a need to have money before you, or your bosses think you ought to have money before you plan a program? Everybody does. Then you never get anything done, especially now. If you're going to wait for money now, forget it. You might as well just find a new career. So the Asian Liver Center has money. They've been working on this issue for 10 years. They felt it was worth taking their own funds and paying for those ads. And Asian Week, who's just was gung-ho about this, said, we'll pay for the dinner. And since it was in Ted's community, I'm sure he got a great deal. The next thing we're working on is hospital support, and that was where we began. So in San Francisco, we have a hospital council that every hospital participates in, and the only people who participate from the hospitals are the CEOs. Always nice to start at the top, because if you want something done and the CEO says yes, but you know the CEO isn't going to do it, it's much easier for them to designate somebody else than for you to come in as any level below that, decide this is a good idea, and then try to sell your superiors. And this is a very easy sell, this hepatitis B business. It's a really easy sell. So I don't know if you've had this experience, but I can start a conversation with somebody who knows nothing about it, and by the end of describing what it is, how many people in this population are impacted by it, how devastating this disease is. Oh, my goodness. All right, so anyway, they agreed to take it on. Tip number four is be a leader. You have to clarify your expectations. The hospitals were very slow to get their act together. I finally understood they didn't understand, and I said very clearly, we want you to provide services for people who are not your patients, and we want you to pay for it. And they did. So here we got new public access testing sites to break down, nothing fancy, you can see, to break down barriers to access. We created a very simple diagnostic flow chart, and it has on a letter that goes with it the names of several of very well-known, nationally known experts. Tip number five is play with friends. You have to work with who comes to the table. Don't beat your head against the wall. If somebody's not interested, move on. There's plenty of fish in the pond. If you try to work with people you think you ought to work with, such as uninterested health departments, you're going to go nowhere. These are our actively participating partners. There's over 30 of them, and they're just the ones that are really stepping up to the plate and doing stuff. We have media support, and all the media signed on early on with pledges to support us, to give us discounts, to cover our activities. We have support from the industry. This is a billboard that is on Highway 101 that Gilead paid for, asked permission, said to us, can we put this up? Like, okay, sure. We actually had planted the seed in their head because we really don't want to play too closely with industry. So, but this was a way for them to do it, for it to be a win-win for both of us. Tip six is include your partners in your leap, and that means meaningful meetings. Never have a meeting for a meeting's sake. Only have them as you needed. We have working groups to get things done, but they usually meet, then do a lot of email and telephoning. And communicate regularly. It's an incredible pain in the butt. Minutes from meetings, regular updates, but you have a much larger catch-all of people interested and wanting to know about it than you can engage in meetings. But if you keep them informed of everything that's going on, they know what's going on, they feel part of it, and they tell other people. Tip number seven is always welcome new partners. So we brought in the Giants this spring. They created a third PSA. We already had two. They created another PSA for us. There's some of their baseball handout cards. They had a whole giveaway night at the Giants in May. We have just launched our public awareness campaign. That was one of our big goals. And we took a proactive response, be a hero. We have T-shirts. This is all over. This is just a small sampling of what's up around San Francisco right now. It is everywhere in the city, everywhere. And it's proactive. You know, don't stop a disease. Go do something. Be tested, be vaccinated, be treated. Okay, so real quickly, this is the end. I'll make it. It's only been 10 minutes anyway. So all the hospitals did agree to test, vaccinate, and treat. They're doing it in different ways. We have a monthly meeting with all the key stockholders. Our first one was in June of 2007, where we asked just the hospital representatives to come together one time for 2 hours. And 1 hour into this meeting, they said, oh, we need to meet more often. We want to meet monthly. And I have on two occasions tried to get them to meet less often because it's a lot of work for me. And they go, no. We have to keep meeting. So we meet once a month in the evening. We rotate around the city, and the host site provides dinner. It's a two-hour meeting, starts on time, ends on time. At these meetings, besides a little bit of update, some decision-making, discussing what we're working on and what we need, what happens every month is shared resources. So the little guy, API Wellness Center, wants to do testing at such an event, but they can't afford to do the labs. Somebody else, in this case Chinese Hospital, said, oh, we'll do the labs for you, and boom, it's done. You know, that kind of cross-pollination has happened over and over again. It makes whatever resources you have go a very long way. We had our bus ads. We do have a website if you haven't checked it out. Got our access sites. All of the partners were asked to raise their own money. We have been raising money, but only for public awareness and evaluation. It goes into a fiscal sponsor. We got an ad, large ad agency to work with us pro bono. This year, we did get a gift from one section of the health department for a grant writer, which got us going on some bigger grants. Got our fiscal sponsor, got two of the major colleges to start doing a project there, the Giants. We've got PSAs available to everybody. We've got money coming in. We've actually raised a little over $400,000 now that we have full control over. No health department owns it. It's in a fiscal sponsor. And that is not the partners themselves for their activities have raised, I'm sure, well over $1 million. But the trick is trying to get hold of it. And so that's in our next steps. AASLD is coming up. We'll have a presence there. We still need to expand our awareness and education. We need to focus a lot more than we have on evaluation and broaden our partnerships. And I just want to throw this in. I have two slides left. Ted's tips, which Ted is a businessman and a community man, so he sees it very differently from those of us who are in the health field or especially in the public health field. And that is that we all need to understand the for-profit side of thinking. So that's why we told the hospitals, look at in San Francisco, all these people have health insurance. We're not asking you to pay for everybody. They have health insurance. Take what you can get. Somebody, we say we want 80, and they say we'll give you 2. We say we'll take it. Place small bets quickly. In other words, get in, take what you can get, and use it. And expect and accept turnover. And I think that's a real important thing. And this is my most important tip, and that is, keep it fun, because if it isn't fun, nobody wants to play. And then the sky's the limit. Never let a little thing like dollars stand in your way. And now I say, shay, shay. Let's see you do it that fast. Do I get to answer a few questions? 3?
I think we were going to hold questions to the end. If that was,
yeah, I think we were planning on holding questions.
Don't forget your questions. And first off, I have to say I'm sorry. It's very poor form for the moderator to show up late to her own session, but I was running from another session. My name's Nadia Islam. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the current chair of the caucus. So we'll go ahead and go to our next speaker, who is Priscilla Wang, listed in the program, but this isn't Priscilla. This is Julia. This is Julia Liao from Asian Health Services, and she'll be talking to us about her work with nail salon workers.